You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If the Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
A lot of times it feels like he's just like, eh. Things are going wrong. Teammates are fighting each other. Where's Rodgers? Eh, he's just sitting on the sidelines.
There's a little Jay Cutler to him this year.
Oh, more than a little Jay Cutler to him this year.
Oh, boy.
We have seen big plays from Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
I'm at your service.
All season long.
Fast tempo. We got to bring some energy and some life in the crowd.
Oh, Mega Donut Podcast.
All right, got to get this thing amped up.
With them great guys, Chris and Adam. Even Aaron likes them.
Are you kidding me? I love them.
Because the kids at the shows, they'll have kids of their own. The sing-along songs will be our scriptures. We gotta stay positive. We gotta stay positive. We gotta stay positive.
All big and all listeners and followers, I'm Adam Summers, joined by my bestest friend in the world, Chris Lempesis. We're doing our best to stay a little positive this week, Chris. When's the last time you've been this down on the Packers?
Jesus, that's a good question.
It is a good question. I kind of blindsided you with it.
I don't know. when's the last time I was this down? I guess.
Was it week 3 last year?
Yeah, I was pretty down.
I don't think it. I mean, we were down week 3, but I mean, it's week 3.
I don't know. That's a
maybe 2010 when they felt like they.
I think 2010. That's probably a good
answer.
Was
it FedEx Field 2010?
FedEx Field 2010, or even Rodgers gets knocked out with a concussion. Packers lose 7-3 to the Lions.
Oh yeah.
That was pretty depressing. I was pretty low after that game, I remember.
But those had circumstances. I mean, even 2 years ago when Rodgers broke his collarbone, it was injuries or a concussion to Rodgers. Like, it was reasons why this team, we had a built-in excuse. This time around, though, number 12 is pretty healthy.
You know what?
I mean, I know he's on an injury report this week, but he's fine.
You know what it might be? I'm thinking now, I'm thinking maybe Tampa Bay in 09, losing to a winless Buccaneers team in Josh Freeman's first career start.
Yeah, that could be it.
That game was bad.
Oof.
We watched that. I remember we watched that at your house, and we were like, oh. By the fourth quarter, you were looking up mock drafts. You were like, well, I don't know who the Packers are going to take in the 2010 draft, but this season's over.
Yep, pretty much.
That was dark. I remember talking to my brother after the game. I was so depressed because I couldn't believe they lost to a winless team. And I was like, they got to fire McCarthy. And I'd gotten so far down the rabbit hole, I remember I was like, you think Urban Meyer could coach the Packers? My brother's like, holy shit, Urban Meyer, where'd that come from? I'm like, I don't know.
Then a year later, they won the Super Bowl, so.
Yeah, yeah. So that might be the last time I was this down because, you know, in 09, obviously, they hadn't won the Super Bowl yet. And we didn't quite know what we had in Rodgers. We thought he was pretty good, but we weren't sure. And that's probably the best answer I can come up with, where the last time I was this down about the long-term prospects.
What, 6 years ago?
But I actually think I might feel lower right now. I don't know.
I would agree with that because 6 years ago, you didn't really know what the Packers were going to be. 6 years ago, they didn't. In 2009, they did not have Super Bowl aspirations.
Yeah, not yet.
This year, they did, though.
This year, they did, and I just can't shake. By the way, if you're wondering if we're going to talk about the Lions game, we're not. It happened. We all experienced it. Let's just move on. I just can't shake this feeling that everything with this franchise is stale. You know? Not just Mike, but he's the top of my concerns. I just feel like his whole thing is getting stale. Dom's thing has been stale forever, so that's nothing new, but
yeah, everyone can jump off if they haven't already. There should never have been a Don Capers bandwagon revival tour.
Who would write an article about that? The defense played
pretty decent early in the year, but look who they played early in the year. Jay Cutler, Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, any defense is going to look good against those quarterbacks.
You know, I was just going to say, I was going to give myself shit for writing the TMJ article praising the defense back in, like, early October.
You should give yourself
but
shit.
But you know what, though? The thing is, I ended that article by saying a lot of people are not jumping on the bandwagon yet because they haven't played any great quarterbacks. I said after they play St. Louis this week, it goes Philip Rivers, Peyton Manning, Cam Newton. If they can pass those three tests, then there shouldn't be any doubters left. So I gave myself a tiny little bit of wiggle room, as it turns out.
Here's 7 hours.
Just enough to wiggle my way out of saying that this was a potentially great defense because they had those three tests in a row and they went flunk, flunk, flunk. And then Sunday, not going to go into too many specifics, but Sunday, defense plays great all day. Fourth quarter, come on, guys, get one more stop. And they folded. Completely folded.
It was depressing. I was, I'll give you a little backstory, listeners, that I missed the first half of the game. I didn't miss it. I was listening to it. Thank God for technology these days. This is how far I go to listen to this shitty game of the Packers. A noon start against the Lions. So I'm traveling for work. I get a buddy's NFL Game Pass account to listen to the radio broadcast. I buy the $16 Wi-Fi in Delta, which kept on crashing throughout the flight. Shocking that airline Wi-Fi would be stable. Unstable, I should say. So I listen to the whole first half on either my laptop or my phone on the airline. Listen to Wayne and Larry, who actually is an upgrade over Buck and Aikman. So I win there.
Oh, you mean you...
And that...
Yeah, you didn't miss much. Buck was even worse than usual on Sunday. He kept over and over many 24 years, 25 years, whatever it was. He must have mentioned it at least 7 or 8 times during the game.
I believe
it. At least like 3 or 4 times. He just kept hammering it over and over, just to the point where you could tell he was gleefully hoping that the Lions would win.
So, and I texted you because I was able to use iMessages in the plane that it's been a while since I've primarily just listened to Wayne and Larry.
Right.
And it was a treat. It was a treat.
They're very good.
And then halftime hit, my plane landed, and I'm like, okay, maybe I'll catch a fourth quarterback hotel. I go get my baggage from the carousel. And lo and behold, they have a TV. And I'm in Miami this week. They have actually two TVs in the carousel. They have the Dolphins and Eagles, I believe. And their TV, they have the Packers and Lions. I'm like, holy cow. I'm waiting for my luggage. I can watch this debacle. And it was right when Abdullah returned the kick to open the second half.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just swearing in the luggage carousel. and people are kind of like looking at me. And then all of a sudden I turn around and there's a guy in a Wisconsin Badgers baseball cap who just gives me like a solidarity nod like, fuck this.
This team is bad.
There is the first F-bomb
in the game.
This
team stinks.
Yeah. And then I get to the hotel and I throw my luggage in the hotel room and they have the ticket down in the bar. So I didn't go find a sports bar. Do they have sound on the game? No. Because they had sound for the Dolphins game right at the same time. So I'm relegated to this little TV. Not little, it's a 40-inch TV. But like in this little, like the corner of the little bar lobby hotel by myself. No sound. And there's this couple behind me from Belleville, Wisconsin.
There you go.
I wanted to tell this because I don't know where Belleville is. Apparently it's by New Glarus, which is, you know, northwest of Madison right area. So there's Packer fans everywhere is what I'm trying to say.
There really
are. I'm wearing a Packers t-shirt and I'm getting all amped up for the game. And this guy's just like making comments about how crappy the Packers are playing. And he's like, are you from Wisconsin? I'm like, yeah. And we, you know, exchange pleasantries. And I'm like, holy crap, you're from some small town Wisconsin. We're at some random hotel in Miami on a Sunday afternoon. And we're only two watching this game.
Right. It's crazy.
And thank God for my lovely server, who who understood was what was going on, who just kind of gave my space. And she got an extra tip for that, too. She was like, all she would ask me is like, do you want another one? I'm like, yes. And then she wouldn't bug me after that. She just placed it there. She understood. So she earned herself a couple extra bucks for that. She gave me my space.
Sweetheart, if the other team has more than Green Bay on the score, keep the drinks coming and don't say nothing.
So that's where I saw the debacle was, in some random bar hotel.
It's crazy.
In Miami. Unfold.
Packer fans are everywhere. We really are.
Yeah.
It never ceases to amaze me.
There was someone in the luggage carousel, and there was someone in my hotel.
It's crazy.
And then I take the elevator up to my room after the game, and there's a couple of Patriots fans going down. And some guy's like, what happened there? I'm like, I don't fucking know. That's two F-bombs.
How would
sorry.
I know?
I ain't bleeping any F-bombs out this. I'm in a hotel room. If it's a little echoey, sorry.
No, he's not.
I'm looking
right.
Out right now. I'm on the road. This is how dedicated we are to our podcast. I'm looking out at South Beach right now.
Our dedication never it never wanes.
For all you people who are going to experience Snowmageddon while you're listening to this in the next couple days, if you are unable to bury your house out of snow and plug in your headphones to listen to this podcast, because I hear Ice Age is coming.
It's bad. It might be bad.
It's currently 79 degrees right now at 11 o'clock at night in Miami. Suck it.
But don't you worry. Aren't you worried? I should say, do you have worry that everything is just stale?
Yes, and I don't know how to fix it because
I don't. And that's the thing I'm worried about. I don't know if you can fix it. Not with how stubborn McCarthy is. I mean, you hear it this week. He's like, I don't think we need to change much. Stay the course. Keep doing what we're doing. Be more fundamentally sound. It's like, don't chase the game. It's like all this. It just sounds like, it just feels like it's like the same stuff. Oh, and it just feels like, I don't know. I'm starting to worry if the players are kind of starting to tune Mike out a little bit.
I think you're right. It has become stale. And I'm contradicting myself because I think the only way to get out of the staleness is have Mike taking over the operation, which is crazy as it sounds because Mike's become stale as a head coach. But
well, he says he spent most of his time this week with the offense.
But with Clement and Bennett, that experiment didn't work. And I've been thinking about this all day. Is Mike was – maybe he's succumbed to the pressure of all the fans, media, coach, other coaches, Thompson, of that he should relinquish play calling after how last season ended.
Yep.
And rightfully so. But was Mike one of the worst play callers in the league?
No.
I mean, this offense was, you know, for more times than not, was still a top five offense. No. Well, had his moments where he cost the team a game, but –
Also, look at the Patriots game last year. Mike was one step ahead of the great Bill Belichick all day. So
as to how stale this team has become, I think the only way to get how it's currently constructed, the only way to break through the staleness is have Mike take over the operation again.
Because, see, that's the thing that worries me, and that's the thing that really worries me about this, is that things feel more stale than ever. And wasn't the whole purpose of Mike relinquishing play calling duties and going from a micro focus to a macro focus? Wasn't the whole point of that to sort of freshen things up and give like a new perspective? Like Mike could really put his perspective on the defense, and Mike could really be there in the special teams meetings. And it just worries me that like that move was made to sort of inject, I don't know what you
inject old life.
Yeah. Inject some new life into this franchise and this team. And
yeah, that's what it was made.
And things feel more stale than ever, despite that.
It didn't work.
Right.
It failed. It didn't work. And I know one of the reasons why they did all this, because there was rumors that Edgar Bennett was going to leave for another team to be the offensive coordinator. Like, he was an up-and-coming coordinator candidate. You know what? Another team wants Edgar Bennett right now. I know he's beloved in Packer Nation for all of his contributions in the mid-90s. You can have him as your offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I agree.
Honestly.
I mean, I agree with that.
Bennett is over his head right now. Clements is over his head. Rodgers can't call every play. He's not Manning. It's not a bad thing. Mike needs to take over this operation. Well,
which is funny because that's exactly what we said didn't need to happen last week. But I'm with you. I think now is probably the time.
It's the only way out.
I don't think. Yeah. Well, because you can't just keep doing what you're doing. It's not working.
For the only options they have right now, it's the best option.
I mean,
which is sad as it sounds because of how last season ended.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it would signify to Mike that, like, we're not just going to sit by idly and let the ship sink. Like, damn it, I'm going to take the reins on this thing. I'm going back to doing what I did best. We're going to try to get this thing back to where it was last year.
You know what? Some micromanaging right now will do this team a whole hell of a lot of good.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they don't have a running game right now. And if you want to micromanage the best quarterback in the game, do it, because he needs it.
Well, that's what scares me. Writing about this for TMJ this week about, like, how the Vikings, we'll get into this more when we start to preview the Vikings game, obviously. But, like, the whole angle of my story is that the Vikings have this very sound identity right now. They know who they are. We play defense and we run the football. That's who we are. If you had to say what kind of team the Packers are, how would you ever answer? They're like nothing. They have no identity. The passing game stinks. The running game is terrible. The offensive line is not good. Defensively, it's about
their loss.
It's lost. It's about what it always is. And you can't be a team built around special teams because this isn't college football.
Yeah, thank God for Ron Zook.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like they have no identity. And it's like maybe that's the way to find the identity is Mike just grabbing the reins and going, I'm calling these plays. We're doing what we did last year. Everybody get the hell out of my way.
Because at the end of the day, last year didn't end the way we wanted, but last year looks a hell of a lot better than this year looks.
They're dying right now. I mean, this is rock bottom.
You want to know how rock bottom this is? So I'm on ESPN.com tonight. You know, on the right-hand side where they have, like, instant tweets and stats and random stuff going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was right when the Jaguars and Titans game. So we're recording this on a Thursday night. First drive, the Jays go 3-0. And the stat was whatever percentage was of the Jaguars' lead are third worst in the league of number of 3-and-outs they have this year, right? I don't know what the percentage was. Only behind the Buffalo Bills and the Green Bay Packers. So the Packers are one of the two worst teams of 3-and-outs this year. They have the second year the most or second most 3-and-outs this year of any NFL team.
That's not really that surprising.
It's not surprising, but it's goddamn sad.
Oh, it is. Oh, no, it's definitely
when you have
sad.
The MVP quarterback.
It's just funny. Normally you hear a stat like that, you're like, what?
Jaguars,
but I'm like, no, I get it. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, when the Jaguars are better at that stat than you are, it's depressing as all hell.
It's just, it's really bad. I mean, the offense is just really bad. There's kind of no other way to say it. I mean, you could kind of pinpoint, so what's the problem? It's kind of everything. Like I just said, it's everything, man. Rodgers is just all over the map. His fundamentals are terrible. He's looking to get out of – he looks like he's looking – actually, our friend Brillo DM'd me after the game on Sunday on Twitter because he missed – I don't know if he was busy or what, but he, like, missed the first three quarters of the game.
Yeah.
He's like, what happened? And I was like, I don't know. Where do you want me to start? I was like – he's like, why does Rodgers look so jumpy? And I was like, he doesn't trust his offensive line. I'm like, he's looking – he starts getting jittery within about a half a second of the snap. And you can sense him already looking for his escapes, you know, his escape routes. And that's not good. And I'm like, his fundamentals are off. He looks jumpy. He doesn't trust the receivers. Kind of hard to blame him when, A, they can't get open, and, B, they can't catch the ball when they do get open.
Well, I think a lot of it comes about to the Nelson injury is becoming more and more obvious. And that's it. I just feel – but I, at the same time, I feel that's an easy excuse.
Yeah,
they would be a lot better with Nelson in the lineup. But
well, like I've said.
Well, but let's not forget that last year and last how many years that Nelson's been the number one option. He's not always open. So if Nelson's not open, Rodgers would always find the next open guy. So why is Rodgers so jittery and doesn't trust anybody else? Because it's not like he was, you know, Nelson got 200 targets every season. It's Nelson's really, really good.
He is.
But other teams respected that, and Rodgers still had to adjust when Nelson was covered or double covered.
Well, I just think what happens is, I mean, the Nelson thing might be a little too convenient, but I until I see otherwise, I continue to think that that's the number one thing. That's what worries.
It's the number one.
That's
what
worries
the number
me the
one
most.
Thing.
That's like, because that's, you can't fix that. Jordy Nelson's not coming back this year.
Yeah, it's the number one thing, but it's there's been games and times where Nelson has been a non-factor because the defense took him out of the game. Because he's that good, and Rodgers was still able to find a second, third, fourth looks, and he'd always would trust his offensive line. I don't see how Nelson's injury correlates him not trusting anybody else in this
offense.
Well,
I think what's happening,
including most importantly, his offensive line.
Well, it's like we were talking about this last week too. With Nelson being out, everybody's kind of moved up a peg. Randall Cobb now faces those double coverages that Jordy Nelson faced, and he has not excelled, to say the least. And then you got James Jones, and he's, you know, like we said last week, it feels like it's struck midnight for Cinderella there.
It has.
Adams has been hurt. He's back now, but he's not a burner. These guys can't get open. And in the past, like I said this last week.
We can give them a pass against for the Denver game, the Carolina game, two really good defense. What's the pass for Detroit?
They just not.
There isn't.
I don't know.
It comes.
No.
Right. It comes back to number 12.
But they can't. These guys can't get open. Nobody ever pressed the Packers like they're pressing them now. McCarthy even said that the other day. Like, they're facing way more press coverage than they've ever faced before. And these guys can't get off breaks. And in the past, nobody ever blitzed the Packers because it was like, as somebody said to me on Twitter after the game, the Packers used to shred defenses that blitzed them as much as they're getting blitzed now. But because these guys can't get open, defensive coordinators are like, well, if they can't get open anyways, let's speed the clock up even further for Rodgers by blitzing the shit out of them. Like, I think it's a good offensive line.
It is.
But the more I'm starting to think about it, the more I think they also got a lot of favorable matchups last year. They got a lot of teams that didn't blitz, that sort of just swept four rushers at the quarterback. And when you've got 5-on-4, that's pretty easy. It's a lot easier than when it's 5-on-6 or 5-on-7.
I'm not going to deny that Nelson is the most important aspect of why this team is struggling. But
there's still talent there.
There's still talent. And I think a lot comes down to coaching.
Well, I agree with that, too.
You know, regardless of what happens, they got to take a reevaluation of if they want to bring Clemens or Bennett back next year. I know a lot of fans love Edgar Bennett. No, he's having an awful job as a coordinator this year because they have no running game, and they have a lot of talented receivers, and the receivers can't get open, and their offensive line is taking a step back. There has not been one single improvement on this team this year or even a lateral equal play from last year.
Right.
Under Edgar Bennett and Tom Clements. There it just hasn't been. And yeah, the Nelson injury hurts a ton. But it seems like they didn't prepare for the worst. Like, what, as an NFL coaching staff, you have to prepare. What if this guy goes down? What's our backup plan? It's like Nelson goes down and we don't have a backup plan.
Well, you know what I think is happening too? I've noticed this more and more, and it really hit home for me on Sunday. This is an incredibly simplistic offense. You talk about it falling on the coaching staff, and you're right. It's a very simple scheme. It's not, you know what I mean? There's like, when do you ever see bunch formations or men moving in motion or crossing routes or these sort of pseudo pick plays that the Patriots run to perfection? When do you see any of that with this team? You don't. It's like Jordy Nelson went down and Mike was like, because Mike is super confident, Mike was like, well, we're just going to run the same offense we've always run and it'll work. But it's not working. There's still talent, but you have to adjust this to fit your talent, right?
Exactly.
And they're not doing it. It's like, we're going to run the same simple offense that we've always run. Don't worry, everybody. It'll work. That's why I think it's like they could have helped things in the wake of not having Nelson, but they just refused to. There's just no creativity. I mean, having Randall Cobb line up in the backfield, it's like, okay, guys, that's dead. Teams have figured that out now. You got to try something else. That's like their one big wrinkle. It's like, well, we'll line Cobb up in the backfield. And every time you do it, it gets nothing now.
You look at Carolina, and they lost their big play receiver in Kelvin Benjamin the exact same time Nelson went down. You can say Nelson's a better receiver than Benjamin. But they're both big-bodied touchdown machines.
Right.
And Carolina's 9-0 and rolling because they adjusted their offense, and they have a lot worse talent and offense than the Packers do.
They adjusted it. They said, all right.
They have Ted Ginn Jr. and Jericho Cotchery.
Right. They adjusted it. They said, now, instead of Kelvin Benjamin being the go-to guy, we're going to design this offense around Greg Olsen, the passing game. And when we run the ball, you know, maybe we didn't rely on Jonathan Stewart as much as we could have last year. We're going to fix that. We're going to make him more of a factor now. Like you said, they made adjustments. The Packers, because they're so convinced, they're so goddamn stubborn, that they just think what they do works no matter what. And it doesn't. It just doesn't.
Do you think there's other stuff going on with Rodgers right now, though? Let's just segue into that.
Let's get into it. Okay, so Rob...
Chris has some inside information. This is maybe one we should have led with. I don't know about
leading
with this.
No, I don't know if we're going to lead with this.
Hopefully there's enough people listening still, but this is going to be one of the more groundbreaking Old Big Inn episodes ever.
Well, we got some scoopage, that's for sure.
We've got scoops in the past, and we've acted on a few of them.
We have.
One we never acted on, which still regrets me to the day of our website, but this one we're going to act on.
This one we are going to act on.
Chris Lumpesis, floor is yours.
Jeez, oh boy. Okay, so Rob Domofsky, if you don't know, you probably do, ESPN Packers beat guy. Sorry about that, my phone just went off. Not a scoop. My sister. Anyhow. All right, so he wrote this story the other day, five things that might be wrong with Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And it was like, injuries, fundamentals, blah. And the number five was, I think it was initially titled Love Life. And then he switched it to personal / off-field issues. And he didn't, I didn't think he really hammered on Olivia Munn. He was just saying, a longtime agent told him that, if a guy's play, dips suddenly, personal issues could be the reason why. And he was like, well, Olivia Munn was spotted at Lambeau Field on Sunday by fans, so all signs point to them still being together, but you never know. It could be something like that. And Packer fans, as they're so good at on Twitter, formed a lynch mob.
Of course.
And have been trying to ruin Rob Domofsky's life for the last day now, I guess. With Olivia Munn getting into the act, and people were writing articles on Cheesehead TV that were just embarrassing, hammering on Domofsky. And it was how do I say it? Well, basically, we can tell you from multiple sources, Domofsky didn't just write that to throw shit on the wall.
No,
there's some shit going on with 12. And the fact that Olivia Munn felt the need to go on Twitter and take a shot at Domofsky, just remember the phrase, thou doth protest too much, because that's what's going on here. I think she knows. I don't know how much. Do we want to go into super specifics on this?
I think we should, because let's just preface this is that. Over the years, a lot of Packer fans, when Rodgers has bad games, blame Olivia Munn, he's dating the superstar. His head's more concerned about his love life than football, and they're just jealous because he's dating a model or an actress, whatever.
Right.
It wasn't so a guy can have a relationship outside of football. However, in this case, all the hatred and jealousy and ill will to Olivia Munn could be warranted.
Yeah, she's certainly not an angel. Let's put it that way.
No.
Let's put it that way. Based on the information we've heard, again, from multiple sources, this isn't just one person. We've had a couple different people tell us this.
Yeah, she's goddamn succubus.
I mean, that's kind of the way that it's leaning towards. I do think sometimes women get blamed too much. I mean, I think that does happen. But in this case, everybody's but it's misogynistic to say that. And it's well, you knew what we knew or have learned. I mean, she's doing things that are having an effect on his life. I don't know how much. I don't know how deep. I keep saying I don't know how, because we've heard specific stories and it's stuff that ties in. I mean, these guys aren't robots. If you're not playing well, if you're having issues in your personal life, a lot of times that carries over to the field. I don't understand why this is so hard for Packer fans to grasp. This idea that it has nothing to do with his relationship. Really? You never had problems with your boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife and it affected you at work? Or shit was going on that side of your life that affected your work? Really? That never happens ever? Because I do think it's happening here. I don't think it's the entire story. We talked about the offensive issues. Those play a big part. But I do think the stuff that's going on with Olivia Munn is playing some sort of part. I do.
And
if a guy was to be dating a girl who, let's just say hypothetically, wink, wink, was to sort of drive a wedge between him and his family to the point where he, again, hypothetically.
Again, wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Hasn't spoken to his family in months. Most of his family, anyways. You don't think that would affect maybe how you're playing a little bit?
Especially when a family, when you have, that's pretty close.
Very tight. By all counts, very tight family.
And that has been very public in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Your parents are very public in Wisconsin. You have two brothers who played football who are seem pretty close to you. That there's never been issues with your family before. And all of a sudden you cut your family off because of your succubus girlfriend.
Yeah. I mean, If he doesn't, I mean, do people realize that Rodgers no longer follows his brothers on Twitter?
Yeah.
Let's just cut to the chase.
From what we know, and we're not experts. We actually do have a lot of more insides than people think we do.
We do.
Inside connections. Rodgers has not talked to his family. He's cut his family off since last March or April because of his girlfriend.
That's what we've heard. Yeah.
That's the rub.
I mean, the thing is that you get one person that tells you this, because we're both journalism guys. Like, yeah. We're not just like random people who work wherever and are like,
we're not the shock jocks, Chris.
We're not shock jocks, and it's not like, I work at wherever. I'm a construction worker and I blog at night. Like, Adam and I are actually trained at, like, we have knowledge and expertise on journalism. Like, if this was just one person that had told us something, it would be like, well, who knows? But then when you get it from, like, multiple people and people are verifying things that other people are saying, it's like, and these people are all sort of close to the situation, close-ish, close enough. I mean, you start to wonder. And again, it's not the only factor, but, I mean, you'd be crazy to think it's not playing a part.
It's a big one.
I think so. The comparison I used with my wife was Magaly Ordóñez. Magaly Ordóñez, for those of you who don't know, is a former outfielder for the Detroit Tigers. Hitting machine, guy could bat 300 in his sleep. 1 year, and I think this was 2008, but I'd have to go back and check. Mags got off to a terrible start. Couldn't hit shit. Was flailing at the plate, and everybody was like, what's going on with Ordóñez? Is he hurt? Is he not happy with this spot in the lineup? Like, discord in the locker room? What's up? And then it came out from Ordóñez that his wife was battling breast cancer. Oh, so there you go. It was like, I get it. An off-the-field issue in his personal life affected how he was playing. Because how could it not? And then the second his wife's breast cancer went into remission, boom, hitting machine returned. I'm just using that as one example. So when people say, you can't.
Or another example that could hit closer to home to Packers fans or Wisconsin sports fans. Remember when the Brewers traded, or not actually the Tigers traded Prince Fielder to the Rangers? And his first year at the Rangers was just awful. Yep. And you find out that his wife and him later on were going through a divorce. Yeah. And he has two kids. And when he was with the Brewers, you saw his two kids all the time at the ballpark.
Right.
He was a great dad, supposedly, at least in the public eye. And his wife was keeping his kids away from him, we're trying to get sole custody. And that affected his play. Then all of a sudden, I don't know how things got settled this year, but things got settled, whatever, and Fielder had an all-star type caliber year, led the Rangers to a playoff spot.
Yeah, he was actually going through. He was actually his last year with the Tigers when he was really, really bottoming out on the field. That's what came out that that's when they were first getting separated.
Yeah.
That things were first starting to go wrong with him. Like, and there's all sorts of urban legends about that I'm not going to go into. But
no.
It's, like we said, we're just pointing out examples of, like, this stuff, off the field can affect on the field. So when people are like, oh, you don't bring the girlfriends into this. It's like, well, but again, based on everything we've just told you guys, I could play a part.
It's just because their jobs in the public eye doesn't give them, superpowers to black out with their personal
lives.
Well,
what it is, too? I was talking to our old pal Gino the other night about this. Was it Gino or my wife? I can't remember. But we're so used to Favre, right? Favre, who was going through crazy shit off the field. Drug addictions, alcohol addictions. His dad dying, his wife having cancer. And Favre could always, like, block it out and go and kick ass, right? Favre's dad dies and he goes out and throws for 400 yards and four scores the next night.
That's not normal.
That's not normal. And that's not everybody. So some people, and it's like, your job, you the listener, you might have people who can block out personal drama and people who can't. And I am starting to wonder if all this stuff is playing a factor.
Favre was a special animal. And really that's not the norm. That's not the norm. What Rodgers is going through is potentially the norm.
I think it's more the norm. Right. I agree. I totally agree with you. And
we've all worked with people who've had personal issues on various fronts at our jobs. And be damned to think that you don't know someone who struggled at their performance, their job while they're going through personal stuff. And we all have understood, like, hey, so-and-so's going through divorce, so-and-so has some family medical issues, blah, blah, blah. We give him the pass.
And it makes
I'm not saying we have to give Rodgers a pass, but from what we know, from what you and I know, is that there's some serious shit going on with Rodgers' personal life.
Well, there
right
is.
Now.
There really is. And I just think, like, you know, think about how, and if you think about it, think about how he's been on the field. Have you noticed? Have you found yourself saying to yourself or your buddies that you watch the game with, he just doesn't seem that into it this year. he just seems like he's kind of not, I don't want to say totally invested, but a lot of times it feels like he's just like, eh. Things are going wrong. Teammates are fighting each other. Where's Rodgers? Nah, he's just sitting on the sidelines.
There's a little Jay Cutler to him this year.
Oh, more than a little Jay Cutler to him this year. And I just think, like, that's not normally how Rodgers is. He just, I don't know. And I was thinking, like, he doesn't seem that into it. And watch the win on Sunday and all this will look stupid. But
that's right. We've looked stupid before. Let's get to Sunday.
Let's talk about Sunday. So there you go. We just wanted to drop a little bit of knowledge on you guys. And now we move on to the Viking game. I can't wait to get an angry tweet from Olivia Munn. It's going to be awesome.
Would Olivia Munn actually listen to our podcast?
No, probably not. I don't know if anybody listens to this goddamn thing. No one ever – we get like one response a week. It's like, great show, guys. I'm like, well, that's one guy that listened.
Spread's even on this game right now, Chris.
Oh,
dead even.
I can't imagine what the Packers have done to earn that.
I can't either. You think the Vikings at least get a point or two at home?
You would think. I don't like.
But then again,
I don't feel good about Sunday. I don't.
Let me toss a little positivity your way.
Yes.
The Vikings had their best win of the year last week, on the road against the Raiders, and that's the honest God truth. They have beaten a lot of soft teams this year.
They have.
They've scraped by a lot of soft teams this year. I'm not comparing them to the Packers right now. I'm just saying their 7-2 record right now might be a little inflated. They play from the rest of the way out. They play two teams with losing records. One against the Bears, who actually look somewhat competent now, and then one against the Seahawks, which we know are going to be playing for their playoff lives the rest of the season. They have two games against the Packers, two games on the road against the two playoff-bound teams in the Falcons and the Cardinals, a game against the home against the Giants, which are leading the NFC North, or NFC East right now. So I'm not saying the Vikings
tough
haven't
schedule.
Played anybody.
As of a couple weeks ago, I think they had the highest winning percentage of remaining opponents.
They still might.
And they probably still do. Yeah, absolutely.
Not to discredit anything the Vikings have done.
No.
They took care of business. They, after losing that debacle week one against San Francisco, they've gone 7-1. Only loss was on the road to Denver, which we also lost it on the road to Denver, so that's not a bad loss. But it's not like they've been the New England Patriots or anything like that.
No. The thing that scares me, you're right, because they haven't really beaten it. The thing that worries me the most about the Vikings is they're kind of the exact team that gives Green Bay trouble, even if the Packers are good. You know, they're an old, like, old school teams give Green Bay trouble.
They're the St. Louis Rams, but probably better.
Right. Or like the Seahawks or the Bills late last year. These kind of old school teams that play on this, passing the ball is not that important to us. We're going to play really good defense. We have a fast, physical, disciplined defense that'll get after you. And offensively, we just want to run the football. You know, these teams with this old school punch you in the mouth approach give the Packers trouble even when the Packers are playing well.
Yeah.
And they're not playing well, they're playing terribly right now. So facing a team like this, it's not ideal.
No, and on the road, Pearson leads the NFL in rushing now too, so.
Oh yeah. He's 200. You know, I didn't realize this until I was doing research for my story. He's 227 yards ahead of Chris Johnson. This is like a boat race at this point.
According to Ben Gessling of ESPN, he is ahead of his pace from 2010. Or was it 2011?
2011. Or 2012.
Yeah, when
they
won the MVP. 2012, when he almost broke the NFL rushing yards record and won the MVP. He's a few yards ahead of his pace that year. He's having a great year. I mean, you know, taking a year off from being your kid will give you some extra legs, but
yeah, Good for him, huh?
Sorry, I just remember, if there's any Vikings fans listening.
Good for him, huh? He really went through a lot of trouble last year.
Good
for
him. He should get Comeback Player of the Year award. That's either the store where I saw. So there's a little grocery store in my neighborhood in Minneapolis. And I went to the store on a Sunday morning once to get a few items. And there's a father and son walking out of this little market neighborhood grocery store wearing matching Adrian Peterson jerseys. I thought that was just so cute. Why would the hell would you put your kid in a Peterson jersey?
Oh, I know. Wow. Yeah.
And it was a new one because it had a Nike swoosh on it.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not a good dude. But, I mean, it's like, it's scary. I mean, it's scary to watch. I mean, he's a freak. Like, you watch that 80-yard run that clinched the game last Sunday against the Raiders.
Yeah.
That's the same Peterson from 2012. It's the same Peterson from his rookie.
Yeah.
The same Peterson from his rookie year. It's like, Jesus Christ, this guy hasn't, like, he's the same guy. How? He's 30. Because he started the year hot, which I figured would happen. I'm like, he's been off for a year. His legs have rested, you know, gives his body a full year to recover from all the punishment he'd taken in his career up to that point.
Yeah.
So I figured he'd have a hot start to the year, and then he would cool off because he's 30. That hasn't happened at all. He's getting better. It's pretty scary.
How do the Packers contain him?
Can they? I don't know. How do they?
They have struggled with it in the past.
They have. They certainly have. I mean, not to sound like Mike McCarthy, but isn't it just fundamentals? Just kind of keeping the box, have a heavy box, make sure everybody maintains their gap discipline. They have to tackle well, which has been an issue for this defense, surprise, lately. All that sort of classic shit, I would think. I don't think there's any sort of real fancy way to beat a guy like Adrian Peterson other than just play old school football and have multiple guys get to the ball, because don't try to bring him down with just one guy.
Is it too obvious to say you just sell out and put 9-10 guys in the box?
No, I think that's what you have to do, right?
Because the Vikings do have the second worst passing offense in the league by total yards in the league. They have only 1,633 yards passing. That's second worst in the league
behind
St. Louis.
They're still ahead of Green Bay, though, right?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Green Bay's
22nd. I'm just kidding. It's not.
They're close.
They're close. That's scary. They're close. I think, you just load the box. You just go eight guys, you just go seven, eight guys, or eight, nine guys in the box, and you go, all right, Ted, well, what do you got?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Vikings are second in the league in total rushing attempts behind only Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a run first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh offense. So you know it's going to be Peterson on first down, Peterson on second down, and hope it's, worst case, four. Then all Peterson has to do, or Bridgewater has to do, is find Kyle Rudolph for a four-yard pass or Wallace or whatever. I'm worried about this. I really am. I'm really worried about this game. Because if the Packers lose, you don't want to say bye-bye to the division, but...
Ken, they're 3 games back with...
Yeah, they'd be 3 games back with the tiebreaker. Yeah, including the tiebreaker. 3 games back with 6 to play.
It's done.
It's done. Yeah, it's pretty
close.
I don't
care that the Vikings have a tougher schedule. The Packers still have a couple losses on their schedule.
Yeah, you would have to think with Arizona, and they'll probably stumble somewhere else along the way.
Packers lose this game. Best case scenario, they finish 10-6 and get a wild card. And they go to the Giants in week 1, beat them, and they go to Carolina in the second round.
Yeah.
That's your best case scenario.
I agree. I think this is definitely one of those swing games. You look at a schedule and or not even a schedule before the season, but just 9 games in, you go, okay, well, if they win this, then they're probably a 12-win team, and if they lose, they're probably like a 10. It's like one of those sort of crossroads games or fork in the road games. This is definitely one of those. Like, I agree with that. I think if they lose Sunday, they're probably a 10-win team. And that's quite a bit below what we had expected for this team coming into the season.
We've already hashed over what this team has to do on offense, and we don't even have an answer for that. I'm just more concerned about this defense, and I think it's loading up against Peterson. Look at Bridgewater. He's in the likes around Marcus Mariota, Brian Hoyer, Nick Foles, Kaepernick, Josh McCown for passing yards in the league right now. Bridgewater has, everyone claims him as Teddy Jesus. in Minneapolis. You can't talk ill will of Teddy Bridgewater because he's still in his second year, whereas this is the same fan base who threw Christian Ponder, eventually being rightfully so, under the bus after like three starts in his career. How Bridgewater is any different than Christian Ponder, I don't know. But Bridgewater stats this year, he has 7 touchdowns till 6 interceptions.
Yeah.
He's your savior, Minneapolis. He's also has an 84.6 quarterback rating, which ranks him 34th in the NFL.
That's what worries me so much. That's what, like, I shouldn't say worries. That's why I'm so impressed with the Vikings. It's like they drafted Bridgewater in the first round to be the savior. And we're more than a year and a half in, and that has not happened yet. Yet, despite that, this team looks like one of the true up-and-coming organizations in football right now. As much as I hate them, and I hate them, it's like everything with this team is pointing up. That's frustrating.
I like looking at stats just because it makes me feel better about Sunday. If you had to pull a bunch of Vikings fans, or just NFL fans, and you had to pick one quarterback, who would you rather have, Kirk Cousins or Teddy Bridgewater?
Who would I rather have?
Not you, but just in general, people.
Oh, boy.
I mean, most, especially all Vikings fans, would say Bridgewater, right?
But you might say Kirk, but yeah.
Kirk Cousins has twice as many touchdown passes this year than Bridgewater.
Kirk Cousins, isn't he like really good at home and terrible on the road?
Something like that. Yeah, I think Bridgewater's just terrible altogether.
Right. If he takes off, I'll tell you what, though.
Cousins has 14 touchdowns this year. Hoyer has 13 touchdowns. Bridgewater said, no, like, granted, with Peterson's, can't judge by touchdowns. I'm just looking at stats, and I think it's fun. That's all I'm doing.
But you can't, you know what, though, if we've learned anything with the Packer defense, not to get too negative again, but look at Peyton Manning. Manning has been dog shit all year, except for one game against Green Bay. So if we've learned anything about this Packer defense, they can make even the most sorry of quarterbacks. It feels weird to say that about Peyton Manning, but that's where we are right now with him. They're making even the sorriest of quarterbacks look like all pros. So I can't even say that, like, well, we got this on lockdown.
No, you can't.
We can't say about anything with this team, but especially it's like, I can't be like, well, they're going to shut Teddy Bridgewater down, are they? Because I haven't really seen that happen yet.
You can get to Bridgewater. You can sack him. He has 24 sacks on the year.
It's not a good offensive line, which is weird because like
six most in the league.
Well, it's a run blocking line, but yeah, that defense is loaded. I didn't even realize till I was like researching my story this week and like looking at their depth chart. Like, man, oh man, that's gonna be a problem on Sunday too. How would you
like his defense? Yeah.
How would you? I'm curious how would you attack this defense because they're so fast and physical, and again, they're really disciplined. They're really good against the pass. They're 15th against their, I think, 8th against the pass and 15th against the run. But the Packers can't run the ball. So how would you attack this defense if you were coaching them?
Lots of shotgun, and you put the ball in Rodgers' hand, he's going to throw 40 times on Sunday.
Yeah.
You make Rodgers beat this defense. They haven't faced a good quarterback all year. They just this defense has not faced a good – outside of Philip Rivers, they have not faced a good quarterback all year.
Yes.
That's the honest to God truth.
I would tend to agree.
So
don't run the ball. Mike, don't run the ball on every first down.
You know their pass defense is better than their run defense? Even with that front seven, really not – I mean, I don't want to really necessarily take my chances with Lacy not being 100%.
I mean, they have Terrence Newman playing cornerback.
Exactly.
That's
you're not gonna be able to throw on Xavier Rhodes, but I know Newman made the interception at the end of the game last week.
He would,
or towards the end of the game that set up for the Pearson long touchdown run. I mean, there was a point where I was watching that game, that the late game with those two teams on Sunday, that Oakland was driving to tie up the game. Carr threw an interception in the end zone. Newman tipped it and ended up picking it off. And then, like, three plays there, Pearson ran the 80-yard touchdown run. That closed the game. But Oakland had shot to tie the game late in the fourth quarter. You can throw on Terrence Newman.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Packers will be able to – if the offensive line can block it.
That's why I think you have to go shotgun. I mean, this defense is really fast. It's really fast. And Rodgers has to have one of the best games of his season. It's going to be a lot of quick throws. They're not going to throw deep. They can't throw deep anyway. So actually, that might help this offense out. You know, like, just take the deep ball of the game. Like, don't even try to force it. Well, you can't do it.
I think it's good that they have the emergence. You know who I'm really excited about, because he made some plays on Sunday, was Jared Aberdeen.
Everyone's favorite receiver. How many Abadiris jerseys do you think has sold in the last 2 weeks?
Too many. Can we just...
I'm thinking at least 10,000.
People are going to hear this and be like, you guys are just sour-ass Gopher fans. That's not true. It's the Jared Aberdiris thing. Can we call this a day now? This guy, and I'm not going to say he's made out of glass, because football's... No, he is made of glass. This guy can't stay healthy. He blows his knee out in camp, like the second day of camp, his rookie year. Comes back this summer, starts, you know, he looks good. Then he suffers a concussion and he's out forever. Then he gets activated to the roster. Finally gets into a regular season game and makes some plays. Boom. Takes a shot and now he's out several weeks. Some guys just aren't built for this. And I think we have to admit that we're there with Jared Aberdaris.
And while he was drafted at value to special teams, he has no value to special teams. He's not returning kicks or punts. He's not one of the gunners on the, you know, cover teams, because that's Janis. And I know we praise him every week, but goddamn, is Jeff Janis good at cover?
He's really
kicks.
Good on special teams. One of the beat guys, it might have been McGinn, was saying he might have a job on this team for 5 years just for that.
That's the only reason why he's still on this team.
Oh yeah,
let's just be real. This team does not have any room to keep guys that don't based on potential. They need guys who can produce. And the only reason why Janis is still on this team is not because of his potential in the receiving game. It's because he's fast, big, and is really, really good at punt coverage.
I know people go like, well, and I got this a lot on Twitter on Sunday. Like, why can't they give Janis at least a shot? Like, everything is...
Because he can't catch the goddamn ball.
Well, it's that. And I think Rodgers, I don't think you get a lot of time to earn Aaron Rodgers' trust. I mean, you see it during training camp that, like, if you follow the beat guys during the training camp practices, how many times is it? Aberdaris with a nifty move on Casey Hayward down the sidelines. Beautiful pass from 12 dropped. Rodgers glares at Janis as he's walking back to the huddle. Like, you saw a lot of that if you followed the practices. I just don't think he trusts the guy. And I think it gets to a point with Rodgers where it's like, you're kind of just dead to me. It's not like Favre, where Favre would kind of keep going back. Favre never gave up on anybody. I think Rodgers gets to a certain point and he's just like, all right, I'm done with you. Next. They're not going to give Janis a shot. They're clear. If they didn't give Janis a shot by now, they're not going to.
So what realistically do you think will happen on Sunday?
That's a good question.
I mean, you've picked the Packers to go undefeated so far this season. I picked them to lose one game.
Wait, can we talk really quick, though, about the emergence of one of my favorite players on this team? Can we talk really quickly about Chunky Donald Driver, a.k.a.
Sure.
Justin Perillo? I'm very excited about Chunky Donald Driver. That's what I'm calling him.
You're calling Chunky Donald Driver? I'm calling the Roadie.
The Roadie? Someone said on Twitter, Bulk Hogan, which I liked. That was pretty good.
I think our buddy Dave, of you know, from South Bend, now of Minneapolis, working for WCCO, he had the tweet that said, I believe it was McCoy, who said Perillo looks like a guy who just you stumble upon in your bar league, flag football league.
Yeah.
That's Perillo.
That's Perillo. I love this guy. This guy may end up being just a guy, but for now, it's really funny when I don't know. I'm just tickled when he makes plays. It just cracks me up. It's like, how the hell is this guy making plays in the NFL?
To the point where
he's bulky. He doesn't seem to be overly athletic. Although I guess his 40 time was faster than Richard Rodgers, which might not be saying much. But like,
no, it's not, because Richard Rodgers may be the most unathletic skill position player we have in this roster.
Let's put it this way with Rich Rodgers. I'm 34. I smoke. Don't smoke, kids. It's not cool. I'm 34. I smoke, and I'm not thin. Put it that way. He might beat me in a foot race. Maybe. I'm not going to count myself out.
Yeah, that says a lot.
Great. He's a great red zone guy, Rodgers, but he's not going to be anything more than that.
When we had a group, I had a group text message going on with people on Wednesday, and with a couple guys in our fantasy football league, where one of the guys, Jason, who kept on saying, why are they saying Brill? He was driving home from his cabin up north, and he's like, why are they saying Brillo's name on the radio? Because, you know, Brillo, we have a guy in our fantasy football league, his name's, last name's Brillowski.
Brillo, yeah, so I mentioned him earlier,
for his home,
yeah.
For his whole life, since high school, since I've known him, his nickname has been Brillo, short for Brillowski. It's like, why do they keep seeing Brillo's name on the radio? And I tell him, no, it's Perillo. He's the backup tight end who's outplaying Richard Rodgers.
He was showing
like there's Packer fans who have no idea who this guy even is.
Although it works out well because everybody can just dust off their Donald Driver jerseys and put some duct tape over the back and write Perillo and you're all set.
Is he the new Tom Crabtree?
He might be. Ooh, that's good.
Is everyone going to love him?
That is good. He might be.
We all love Tom Crabtree. I know you love him. Everyone follows him on Twitter. I mean, everything's...
Well, I mean, he does follow us on Twitter. We follow each other.
I don't want to disparage Tom Crabtree.
We follow each other.
We do. You do.
I do.
I have my own Twitter.
Crabtree is a big... No one follows. He is a big metal fan.
Yes. Perillo is kind of like the new cult hero, I think.
I think he might be. We haven't had one since Crabtree, really.
No, we haven't.
So it's good that we're going to get one. Perillo is the cult hero that Jeff Janis was supposed to be.
Yes.
But won't ever become.
He's a cult hero that everyone wanted Jared Abadaris to be, but he won't ever become.
Because Jared Abadaris, much like Dee on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, has bones made of glass.
Abadaris is a glass cult hero. Perillo's the stone cult
hero. There you go. Yeah, they are. It's just so funny to watch him make plays. Like, and he gets, I mean, he was shown a knack to get open. And Rodgers throwing him the ball. I'm like, well, we might as well ride this as long as it's working. Like, I don't know if this is going to work after this week, but for now, I'm like, just keep throwing him the ball.
At this point, who cares? Right. I'm not going to question it.
I just want to get a win. Yeah. It's like the Jim Mora thing. Playoffs. I just want to win a game.
Any game.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care how we win.
You think they win on Sunday?
Oh, shit. I've been trying to avoid this.
I know you are. I've been avoiding it too. I'll be honest. I really didn't want to record a podcast this week.
Can I pick that they will tie?
We've been down that road before.
Yeah, with the Vikings. Ah. Oh,
exactly.
This team just hasn't done anything to earn my faith. Like, I mean, I'm going to keep watching because I'm a fan and I'm a diehard. But, like, I don't know how you can look at this game and go, I think Green Bay is going to win and this is how. I don't know. I just... The Vikings just seem to have so much confidence, and I think they know the importance of this game because, like you were saying, they haven't beaten anybody, right? Or nobody of really great importance. They know that everything they've done up to this point means nothing if they don't beat Green Bay on Sunday. It just feels like this is the game where they're going to try to make their mark. Ugh. Do you want me to actually give my prediction of what I think is going to happen? Or
yep, it's that time.
It's that time. Okay. Shit. I just don't think the Packers...
It's okay. It's okay if you want to pick them to lose.
All right. I am going to pick the Packers to lose, unfortunately, and here's why. I don't like anything about where this team is at. They have no sort of identity on offense. They don't have any... You know, I don't know what's going to start clicking for this team on Sunday all of a sudden against that defense. Not that something couldn't, but I just don't see what it's going to be right now. Other than Mike taking over play calling duties, and he's already said he's not doing that. So... And defensively, I don't have any faith in this group that they can get stops when it matters most. I don't like the off-field vibe with this team. Not even just, and that's not just referencing the Rodgers stuff from earlier, but just there was some Twitter drama tonight with TJ Lang and a reporter. Like, there's just so much static around this team right now. I don't like it. And I don't think they're going to get out of the hole Sunday. I think the Vikings are going to win this game by a final of 23-17.
Weren't you Nancy negative?
This is only the second time I've ever done this. I picked them to lose to the Jets the year they won the Super Bowl.
And they won that game.
They ended up winning that game 9-0. But this is only the second time.
So karma is on our side. When Chris Columbus picks the Packers to lose, they win.
This is only the second time in 6 years of doing these. First on our website now for the wonderful folks at Packers Talk Radio. This is only the second time I'm picking the Packers to lose, but they haven't done anything to earn me saying they'll win.
I get this feeling that they bottomed out last week. I think you talking about the Vikings know the importance of this game. I think if the Packers have any shot of doing anything significant this year, though the veterans they have on this team, they know the significance of this game. Now, if they would have beat Detroit last week, I actually would probably pick Minnesota to win this week. I think this would have been a little bit of a lack of a term trap game, you know. The Bears shouldn't be anyone trapping with, but I think losing Detroit makes this team desperate, and I don't think they were desperate before. I have, for no other reason, maybe I'm drinking too many mojitos this week down in South Beach. I had the Packers win this game 20-19.
Oh, So we're
Mason, your face Crosby is going to kick a game winning field goal with about 2 minutes left.
They
Crosby redemption tour.
We flipped on this because we both picked him. Was it Carolina that I picked him to win and you picked him to lose?
Yeah, I picked him to lose in Carolina.
So now we're flipping. Now I'm going on the negative side and you're going on the positive. Yeah,
I don't really have a good reason. I'm scared to death of this game. And I'm glad I'm traveling this week for work, and I haven't been in the state of Minnesota since Sunday morning, that I don't want to talk to anybody. We had some friends that invite us to a big kind of Packers-Vikings party. We were going to go to. They're good people. Then after the Lions game, I texted my wife, like, no, we're not going anywhere. We're watching this game by ourselves in our house. The lights turned off.
That's what I do.
Well, actually, probably the lights turned on. You get the point.
I do. God, I hope you're right. I'm sure there's going to be someone on Twitter that's going to be like, oh, fucking Nancy, fucking Mr. Negative over here picking him to lose. You didn't have any faith in this team. I hope I'm wrong.
You picked the Packers to win every game for the last, like, 5 years.
I know. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they win. I'll be happy as shit if they win.
Yeah, Nancy Negative, Chris Columbus, who's picked the Packers, go, like, 48-0 the last.
I know. I always laugh when people are like, oh, you're so fucking negative on Twitter, and I'm like, oh, really? Is that why I picked the Packers to win the Super Bowl every fucking year that we've done these podcasts?
You know I'm not bleeping out these F-bombs.
You what?
I'm not bleeping out.
You're not
going to
bleep them out? We're going to get an adult. Al's going to be pissed. We're going to get an adult rating.
That's all right.
We're going to get the NC-17 of Block Talk Radio.
We can join Jesse Spano.
Oh, just Showgirls reference. Very good. Very good. I've never seen that movie, as my wife is sitting next to me while we're recording this. She's flipped me off. I've never seen that movie. I haven't. Showgirls, wait, what? Where am I?
Rachel, it's okay.
What day is this? I don't know. Showgirls, what's that?
High quality cinema.
Really? It's a cult classic, I think.
So, side note, and before we close this podcast, we're talking about Saved by the Bell. Went to this bar restaurant with some coworkers.
You met Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
No, but they had the door to the bathroom had a painting of Tiffany Amber Thiessen on it.
Did it really?
It had an old school Kelly Kapowski like caricature on the bathroom door, like the door that led to the bathroom. It was a joint bathroom. They had Zach Morris and Kelly Kapowski painted on the bathroom door. That's all.
Charles and Diana of my youth.
I miss that show.
Jeez, just hearing the name Kelly Kapowski gets me all flushed. I don't even know what's going on. Where are we?
Freshman year in college, we had to give a praise speech on something. I give it on Kelly Kapowski.
She played an important role for a lot of kids growing up.
Got a B plus on it. I'm not gonna lie.
I
gave a good speech.
You know.
The instructor said the topic was idiotic. That's why he only gave me a B instead of an A. But he's like, you wrote out very well and you performed it very well.
Go.
So
then there you go.
Anyways,
I don't know how to wrap this up. Boy, we really talked about a lot, huh? We talked about.
I feel we were very, very aggressive in this podcast.
I think we were. Well,
more so than usual.
I think the situation called for it. You got to cut through. So you got to cut through the static, and that's how you do it. Is you're aggressive. But you end it by talking about Saved by the Bell.
Basically, let's hope you're wrong and I'm right this week for once.
Yes.
And we'll be recording our next week's podcast. We'll do a recap, actually. We'll record it on the Friday after Thanksgiving game. So hopefully the Packers will go into the big Thanksgiving belt against Chicago with a winning streak of one.
That's a win.
And we can enjoy our Thanksgiving. That's all I got to say. I want to enjoy my Thanksgiving. I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving. Or everyone enjoys your Thanksgiving.
Yeah, everybody have a great Thanksgiving.
It all starts this weekend up in TCF Bank Stadium, the last time the Vikings will play outdoors because they're a very tough team that wants to dome their stadium. I love how the fans and players are like, we're ready for the cold weather. Well, yeah, you have no other freaking choice. You're playing in a college stadium. Bunch of hacks. You can tell me
The aggressive theme here right up until the bitter end. So.
Yeah. So until next week, I'm Adam Summers.
And I'm Chris Lemphasis.
Be aggressive. Stay aggressive.
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com. Click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If the Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.